Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. We are talking identifying red and green flags, a very interesting subject. And Sister Cleopatra Shabalala will be joining us for this conversation. And now we know that love can be exciting, right? But not every relationship is healthy. Obviously, we know that many of us have experienced that. Now, learning the difference between red flags and green flags is essential for women to build relationships that are safe, that are supportive and fulfilling. And, you know, culture often romanticizes unhealthy behaviors, making it even more important to recognize the signs of good and bad relationships. So how can women trust their instincts and set boundaries and ensure that they're in relationships that honor their worth? These are the kinds of questions that Sister Cleopatra will be answering for us in our conversation this morning. My sister, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Bongi. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
So glad
it's
to
very
have
wet
you.
Yes. Morning.
Yes. Yes, a very wet and chilly morning. I'm so grateful that you've made time to chat with us this morning. So let's get straight into it. Let's start with some of the biggest red flags that women should be aware of in relationships. What are some of those?
So I think for me, I was looking for a Bible-based answer, right?
Right.
And I think the Holy Spirit led me to 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. I think where God tells us of the that people shall be lovers of themselves.
Mm.
You know, we find there several things that the Bible talks about. Not only does it talk about people being the lovers of themselves,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't pray, actually.
Okay.
Can you please pray?
Let's start with prayer. That's a good idea.
Yeah, please. I'm realizing now. Okay, can we please close our eyes? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful morning that you have bestowed upon us. I come before your throne this morning, Lord, and I ask that I may decrease as you increase. I ask for your guidance, Heavenly Father, that you may please speak to us, and this word that you have prepared for us may find a place in our hearts, or a soul that is fertile in our hearts, O Lord, where it shall be planted and grown and nurtured, O Father God, so that we may be what you want us to be. In the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so I think going back to the verse, which is 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, where the Bible says, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and without self-control. And there's, I think when you go on to verse 5, the Bible keeps on listing these character traits. And for me, I remember the first time that I had an encounter with this verse. When you read this verse, most of the time you always think it's always the next person.
Yes.
You know, I remember when I was reading this verse, I was seeking guidance at the time whether I should leave my marriage or not.
Mm.
And I was led to this verse. I think when you read verse 5, it says, from such people, turn away.
Mm.
And then immediately I was like, oh, okay, that's my answer. And then the Holy Spirit was like, hold on.
Are you such people?
Hold on. And then the Holy Spirit was like, let's start with you.
Yo.
You first need to turn away from yourself.
Yo.
Because you are also, not only is there is your partner the person that you should turn away from, but even you. Look
Yo.
At these things.
Eish.
Are you out of the clear from them? And you know, when I looked at them, lovers of me. Like, we are always on some angenziwa so me. You can't do this to me. Mm-mm. You know, it's always about me.
Yeah.
I buy things for me. I work for me. You know, everything must be about self.
Yeah.
And the Bible cautions us that, I think in the modern world, we now call this narcissism. Mm. We always think that people who are narcissists are the other ones.
Other people.
It's never us. We never ask ourselves, what character traits of narcissism do I have? You know, it's all about me, you know. And the Holy Spirit or the Bible says we need to turn away from such, you know. Lovers of money. Oh my gosh, we, you know, these days we've made money to be our idol.
That is our God.
You know,
yeah.
We seek. We go into careers because of money.
Yeah.
We go, whatever we do is decided
motivated
by money.
You
know, how we are going to live our lives is money. It's not about, it's not whether God wants me to be here or not. It's whether will I afford or not.
Sure.
You know, so such things. I think proud, definitely nobody wants to be with a proud person,
mm-hmm,
because it's always going to be about them. Unloving and unforgiving. I think this one is the biggest one in our society these days. We are so unforgiving. You know, I always ask people, when you say you've forgiven someone, if this person comes back to you and seeks for help, are you going to be in a position to be able to help them? Half of the time, the answer is never yes. And I ask myself, then how have you forgiven?
What kind of forgiveness is that? Yeah.
What kind of forgiveness is that? You know, we are so unforgiving. It's always about protecting myself. I don't want this person to hurt me again. I don't want this person, you know, the Bible does say that Jesus actually tells us in Luke that we should forgive if a person repents. You need to forgive them. There are times when people are not going to repent. And it also says, you need to forgive. And maybe, yes, I agree. Put boundaries. Stay away until a person comes back. However, what happens if the person has really, really, really done the worst to you? And one day they come back having repented and they seek your assistance after having wrecked your life. Are you going to be in a position to be able to say, you know what? It's okay. Like Jesus said, they do not know what they were doing.
Hey.
Let bygones be bygones. Do we have that kind of forgiveness?
Yeah.
So for me, you wouldn't want to be with a person who's unforgiving. Marriage is very hard. You know, it talks about without self-control. Oh, that's the biggest one. We cannot be controlled by lust. You don't want to be with someone who's controlled by lust. You don't want to be with someone who's controlled by food.
Yeah.
You know, you need to be temperate. You want to be with someone who, because life is so difficult. People make decisions when they are stressed of serious money affecting issues. And when people don't have self-control, a lot can go wrong very soon and very quick. You know, so you want to be with someone who's got self-control. For the sake of time, I think we shall end there just for now.
Sure.
But start with yourself first.
I love that.
Before you identify a red flag on somebody, start with you. Pull out
that.
The plug on your own eye first.
Yeah. It reminds me of a sermon I heard, one of my favorite preachers, Henry Wright, and he's talking about how when he's writing his sermons, he's planning a sermon, says by Monday, Tuesday, there he's on fire. Like, yeah, I'm going to tell these people. I cannot wait. The Lord has a message for these people. And by Wednesday, the Lord is saying, hey, this is for you. I'm talking to you. This sermon is about you. You need to take a look at your own life because you're looking around saying that, yeah, this one is going to apply to brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. They must know. And there are times, you know, when you're listening to a sermon or you see a post or something or a joke or a meme or something and you immediately apply it to another person without recognizing that, hey, that could be me as well. So I think,
you know,
that's not an easy thing to accept, but that is definitely a fact. Now, how can women differentiate between normal relationship challenges, because we know there's no perfect relationship? How do we know what's normal and what's toxic?
I always say we cannot be struggling about financial issues for 5-6 years. there must be growth.
Right.
If we started having financial issues in the first year, in the third year, they may not be all be sorted.
Right.
But we must see where we started from. There must be a change. There must be progress, you know. There must be a change in behavior, you know. We must not be stagnant. So for me, I recognize that people are not perfect. We all are not perfect. We've got a lot of things to work on. However, people who are not repentant from sin, there's really not much we can do.
Yeah.
That's how you identify that this is a toxic behavior. When a person has been like this and refuses to change, refuses to learn, you know, we all know that wisdom is knowledge mixed with understanding and experience. You cannot fully say that you are wise on a matter on something, or you've learned something without having applied the knowledge that you've learned. And we understand that it's a process. It takes time. And as we are learning, Ellen White says, by beholding, we become changed. You know, so we need to see the change happening over time. Then we know that there may be a situation where people can be ignorant at times. They don't know that these traits or behaviors are wrong or they are hurtful,
sure.
You know, but with having a teachable spirit, and when you do address the matter, you can tell that they are willing to change, you know, because maybe they were not aware how this affects you, you know, so repentance is the key word there, you know, like
right.
I said earlier, Luke 17, verse 3 to 4, Jesus says we must forgive, especially when a person repents. Repentance is very key. He says, if there's repentance, we need to forgive. So, all of us have a certain level of these things. When we go into relationship or into marriages, marriage is preparing us for salvation, you know. It's constantly working on us, meaning that there are going to be things that are not going to be perfect when we meet each other, but there must be change. We must grow. We can't remain stagnant.
Yeah.
The moment we remain stagnant for too long, then there's a toxic behavior there.
Okay. So are there no behaviors where, I mean, obviously there are certain things where we know that, for example, abusive behaviors where, I don't know if that's something that we would advise you to just wait and see if there's a change, give it time, whatever. So there has to be some kind of a line that we draw, that on certain things, there are things that we need to work on. You need to give someone a chance to try and improve. But there are certain things where you're just like, no, this one it's definitely a no. That's like the last straw. Is there a way that we can differentiate?
Where your life is in danger,
exactly.
Of course. You know, and I think, like I said, I made an example about me earlier. You need to constantly seek the Holy Spirit in each and every decision, especially when it relates to these matters. I don't think God will ever be in a situation where he says stay in a situation where a person is like that. They are very abusive and domestic violence, and they can kill you, you know. You really need to seek strength to leave, and rather go separation. I think for me, one of the things that I implemented, was not physically abusive, but it was very emotionally abusive. But I told myself, I'm not going to make a decision whether I divorce for a year, you know, but I'm going to separate. I'm going to leave the marriage and there's going to be separation. And only after the year, when I've sought the Lord, I've seen from afar what is happening, then I will make a decision. So that can be one of a strategy or method or way that worked for me. It may not work for anybody else, but trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. But definitely immediate separation, I think, is the best that can be done, given the circumstances.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, we talk often about the red flags, but what are some green flags that indicate a healthy and supportive relationship?
I found that to be on 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 7. You know, when I read this one, I think one thing that came to me was, what if I don't want a bishop as a husband?
Right.
Because New King James speaks about a bishop.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit was like, remember, your husband is your priest.
Of your home, yes.
You know, you are the bride, he is the priest.
Yeah.
You are the church. So if he cannot lead you to Christ, there's no way that he's going to be able to lead anybody else.
Mm.
You know, he needs to start at home. And these are the character traits that a man that you need to marry must have. You know, he says it's a very good work to be desired. By the way, I like that to want to be a priest of a home as well, I guess, to be a priest or a bishop is a good work.
Mm-hmm.
A bishop must then be blameless, you know. The husband of one wife.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
They must be temperate. We spoke about that earlier, self-control. They must be sober-minded, you know, a good behavior. They must be hospitable. You know, they must love having people around. I mean, marriage is a ministry. We serve people. Therefore, we must be hospitable.
Mm-hmm.
He must be able to teach, you know,
yeah.
As a priest. They must not be given to wine. How have we made that so normal these days?
Yeah.
You know, like it's nothing, but the Bible says, no, it's not tolerable. They must not be violent, what mm-hmm. we just spoke about
yes,
now.
Yes.
You know, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. And, you know, so having his children in submission with all reverence. So, I like those from the Bible. I think I felt like, oh, those are such green flags. Who would not want such a Boaz, you know? So that's the type of Boaz that you need to appoint, or rather, I guess we are pursued, but to agree to go into a marriage relationship too. Those are the things that you need to consider. And yeah, so that would be the green flags for me.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Now, how?
Yeah. So that was 1 Timothy 3:1-7. Yeah, I think I did not read all of them. I think for the sake of time, we can study and meditate on the verse on our own.
Can you just repeat that? That was 1 Timothy.
1 Timothy 3:1-7.
Okay. 3:1-7. All right, listeners, you got that. 1 Timothy 3:1-7. All right. And so, moving on, how can faith and biblical principles help guide us as women in making wise relationship choices?
When we go back there to 1 Timothy 3:2,
mm-hmm.
We see Timothy there saying that, what did he say there? A bishop must, I liked the word for me. What the key word for me there was must,
mm-hmm.
meaning that it's not up for discussion. You know, it's not something that you will say,
optional.
I know, but it's just wine.
Mm-hmm.
We will get it right along the way. No. He's saying before they become your husband, they must. It's a criteria that must be met. And I think so. We need to trust the word of God and take it as it is. So you shouldn't be in. So when you are going to read the word, pay attention to such words. You know, you can't say he's promising Shem. He'll definitely get it in the future.
Mm.
The person must meet first before they are appointed.
Mm.
Otherwise, your own character will be tainted.
Yeah.
And in 1 Corinthians 15:33, God says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You want to really be with someone who's going to support your purpose, who's going to draw you closer to Christ.
Yes.
Not away.
Yes.
You know, so use the Bible to every time when I really do have a conundrum or I'm at crossroads, seek the Lord. There are answers in his word.
Mm.
You know, meditate on the word. If you don't understand what God meant by this, what did you mean, God? Like, take time, ask him, pray on it, meditate on it, you know. look for sermons that are on the verse, you know, until you are quite satisfied and there's no doubt in your soul in terms of where the Lord is leading you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and trust. Most of the time when you are going to trust the Bible, it's not going to be easy. It's never easy.
Yeah.
For instance, it's not easy to wait for a man like this. When we look now out there, there is hardly such a man.
Yeah, there. It's true.
You know, you look there and you're like, I can, you're a bit delusional. Where are you going to get such? You're going to be single for the longest of time.
Yeah.
But you need to trust that nothing is impossible with God. His plans are not to harm you, but to give you a hope in the future. You need to trust that he is capable of changing and making one ready for you, you know, only if you trust. So it's definitely hard to stand in a world that does contrary to what the Bible teaches, you know. You will look like a fool, definitely, but the fruits are always worth it.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. That's beautiful. Now, obviously, there are people out there who are looking in their own relationships. They're seeing some of these red flags. They're seeing some of the toxicity that you've talked about. But for different reasons, they're struggling to leave. Maybe they're afraid, or maybe there's this worry. I've already invested so many years. I've been with this person for so long. Or different reasons. Maybe we have children together. We have so many. Maybe we have, our lives are so intertwined. We have joint bank accounts, or we have a business together. Different reasons why people struggle to get out of these relationships. What advice would you give to someone who's struggling to leave an unhealthy and toxic relationship?
You know, one of the biggest advices that I received from my therapist when at the beginning when I left was because I kept on leaving, coming back. And she was like, you do understand what you're doing, right? When you constantly stay in that situation, you're not going to heal. I'm not saying divorce your husband and leave your husband, but healing is important. Mm. Your personal healing as an individual is important for you to heal the union. Mm. You can't heal a union when you are broken.
Mm.
So even if there is hope for your marriage, you need to first heal first before you are able to heal the union. You know, both of you need to heal first separately before you are able to heal the union. Mm. And therefore, separation is always. So she told me that, however, when you are saying you're going to stay in there, trying to heal in the marriage, the challenge that you are going to have is that it's like a band. It's like you have a wound, and then you put a band-aid on it, and then every 2 days the band-aid is ripped off.
Ish.
Then you have to start again putting a band-aid, and another 2 days the band-aid is ripped off. So you can imagine, it's possible, but it's not efficient. It's not, there's no precision. So distancing yourself from the person. And get closer to Jesus.
Mm.
He's always going to be able to. He does wonders, that guy. I really recommend him.
Mm-hmm.
Turn away from sinful patterns and forgive others.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, you are not a victim.
Mm.
And things are not being done to you. There are things that you are also doing to people.
Hey.
Be able to recognize those things. Turn away from them. Repent. Ask for forgiveness and forgive others as well for what they've done to you. You know, allow God to show you any brokenness from within you.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of brokenness that we have.
Yeah.
I needed to allow God to show me what unhealthy thinking patterns I had. Sometimes we can contribute to the toxicity of a relationship because of our sin and our brokenness, you know. And the biggest one for me, burden bearers. I always speak about this.
Mm.
They are so key. Surround yourself with supportive men and women of God.
Mm.
Mm. It's not just anyone. These people are specially picked for you. You don't just go around thinking and expecting everyone to be this person. No.
Yeah.
Seek the Holy Spirit. Ask God, who has been sent for this season of my life?
Mm.
You know, who's going to be able to support me, who's going to be able to make me take accountability for my actions, you know, who, someone that I'm not going to be afraid to talk to. Send me this person, show me this person. So I had prayer groups of about we were three in the group, and those women carried me. They carried me, and so I think that is key and very important.
That people are going through, but I think that this is a beautiful way to wrap up our conversation. Way to end it there. And not only that, so have a get yourself this on healing well. That I think that's self. You need to be healed as an individual before you can even think this, especially for those who are not yet ready to actually it on. Really short, but that advice that you must, even if you're planning to heal the relationship, even if you're planning to work on things, but you yourself must be healed. I think that's so powerful and so important for all of us. Thank you so much, my sister, for coming through. I think that this has been a really powerful conversation, and hopefully everybody out there has been blessed by it. Please let us know what you think. +27734703520 if you have any comments or any questions. We'll be happy to deal with them, and we'll be reaching out to Sister Cleo if there's any follow-up questions. Thank you so much for coming through, my sister. Have a great day ahead.
Can you please close in prayer on
yes,
me?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship that we've had in your presence. Guide us now, protect us, and keep us in your presence. In the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you, my sister.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.